Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else.
Hello, everybody. One more time from Orangeburg, South Carolina. This is On the Spot. Tonight, we have the first series of Dr. Ed, out of putting Dr. Ed on the spot. Ida, are you out there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Okay. Dr. Ed, is you in the house?
I'm right here, live from Los Angeles, California.
Okay, then. This is wonderful. We have a lot of people on the line tonight. We are waiting for Ida to put you on the spot. Ida, y'all can take it away.
Hello, Dr. Alali. Glad to have you on the line tonight.
It's wonderful, Ida.
Yes. Well, first of all, people are probably wondering, if they're not familiar with you, who you are and what it is that you are representing. Could you tell us a little bit about who you are? And
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely, Ida. First of all, I want to thank everybody that interrupt their busy schedule today to be on this radio live show with us. And in studio here in California, I'm in our laboratory. I have Mr. Carlos Sterling from the Virgin Islands and Mr. Roy Johnson, who's retired mechanical engineer from General Motors Corporation, our lead engineer for Healthy Smart Homes. And so who is Dr. Lally? Dr. Rhoda Ziana Lally is a registered nurse. I'm a board-certified registered nurse, and I also have my doctorate in nursing. I became an environmental health scientist and interested in how the environment affects our health. I'm a scholar in residence at Teachers College at Columbia University in New York City in the Center for Health, Equity, and Urban Science Education, where I've been a part of that research branch for a little bit over 10 years and just made scholar resident last year when my national model, my healthcare model that my team designed, is called the medical engineering model. We believe engineers need to be part of your medical team because 95% of the cancers that we're experiencing are coming from our toxic indoor. And so if we know we have a problem, we are now under a national call to action by the Office of the Surgeon General to find solutions for our toxic indoors. And so I got involved in this quest of environmental health when I bought a house that almost killed me. In 2004, yes, I bought a house in the Midwest, and I had no idea that the Midwest, certain states in the Midwest, are highly toxic with chemical conversions and with radiation. They have two types of environmental radiation. They have radioactive gases called radon because the soil is highly contaminated with uranium. And they also have, you also have non-ionizing radiation, which comes from the electrical infrastructure. And I bought a house not knowing that you need, in a home inspection, you have to go beyond termites and the quality of the roof and the plumbing and the electrical current. You actually have to have, you need to have the magnetic flux or the electrical interference also measured on the line because your house could be killing you. And so I'll pause right there, Ida.
So you're saying that your house had all of these bad things living in it when you bought it?
Absolutely. My house had high levels of magnetic flux, electrical interference in the electrical system. Now, that translates to electrical radiation. People don't realize, and I didn't realize, that the electric current in your house is actually giving off radiation. You're actually using radiation to power up your refrigerator, your furnace, and anything else that you have in your home that's electrical. And it wasn't until I began to, that I got sick. I actually bought the house, started getting sick right away, but my husband had died, and the doctor was telling me I had displaced grief, and all my organs were distressed. I was having heart problems, stomach problems. I was having problems with my gallbladder, problems with my pancreas. In fact, I became an insulin-dependent diabetic. I had severe insomnia. He was saying that I was just had displaced grief from my husband dying. And so I went to Canada to a medical conference, and at that conference on the second day, a doctor walked up to me from Russia, and she asked me the strangest question in the middle of a winter blizzard. She asked me if I had ants in my house. I told her, I said, in the spring, this house has tremendous ant infestation. I've never seen so many ants in a house. I said, well, why would you ask me about ants in the middle of January? She said, you have the classic look of somebody with radiation toxicity. She said, I have a scanning device with me. I'd like to measure you to see how radioactive you are. And the lady measured me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. She said, you are 100% irradiated. You are holding a radioactive charge. And I had been a nurse at that time for about 32 years. And I have never heard, never seen any doctor measuring a patient for radioactive charge other than in oncology when they're using radiation implants. That's the only time nurses and doctors have to put on protective gear and go through a regimented treatment protocol or dress protocol to protect themselves. But
right. This
on, you know, a day-to-day basis, radiation absorption was not something that was in mainstream medicine. And when she told me I was 100% irradiated, and she said that ants will only infest houses that are high in electrical radiation. She said if you have an ant infestation in your house, you need to immediately get an engineer to come and check your house for electrical interference. And I thought that was the wildest thing, because she went on to talk about how electrical radiation will cause you to offload your minerals, create an imbalance in your body, cause you to have all kind of swelling of your blood vessels, which translates to swelling all in your body. And I said to her, I said, you know, I just moved in this new house about 8 months or so ago, and I said, and I've been sick ever since I've been in this house. She said, well, when you get home, you unplug everything electrical in your house that's non-essential and try not to have anything electrical plugged in your bedroom. She said, because when you're standing, your body can resist absorption of radiation a little bit. She said, but when you're sleeping, when you lay down, your body is absolutely absorbing the energy around you. And you could have all this electrical radiation, and you could be, your bed, you could be getting sick and sick unto death while you're sleeping in your bed. And she told me also to keep my head 6 feet off of a wall. And when I went home and did that, and then I contacted a friend of mine who was a medical doctor who had a number of connections at the military base, she connected me with a nuclear engineer from the Navy who was in the business of environmental health physics, and they sent a team to my house to quantify the measurements. I was totally blown away. They used instruments that was developed by a nuclear engineer from the Army, and the levels, recommended levels, were below 0.42 milligauss of radiation or 40 grams per unit, and mine was over 1,500. They said, it's a wonder you're even alive, because levels this high can create all kinds of diabetes, heart disease, cancers of every kind, et cetera. And when they showed me in the literature that in the international classification of diseases, there was actually a diagnostic code for non-fatal electrocution. That code was 994.8. Then they showed me an environmental code that was 92.0 and 0.01 that said electrical current can cause swelling of blood vessels, skin rashes, short-term memory loss. It can cause all kinds of heart disease. And, you know, so my friends were looking at me like I had seen a ghost and went crazy. But when I told them, I said, okay, so you think electricity can't hurt you, why are they using electrical chairs to kill people in the judicial system? They're electrocuting, they're killing people in electric chairs. And so people began to think about it. And so the opportunity came for me to go to Germany to further study with doctors over there and to go to the medical conferences that were over there to really learn a little bit more. Because
right.
Dr. Ulrich Bannis in Germany is a medical doctor and a naturopathic practitioner, and she is pushing this campaign around the world, telling people your house can kill you, the electrical current you got your head in can take your brain and cause you to have Alzheimer's, dementia, and all kinds of fibromyalgia and anxiety and bipolar depression. So
you're telling
know,
us the electromagnetic field in our homes are doing all this damage to our bodies.
I'm telling you that the Congress commissioned more than 70 world scientists to study that question. Is the electromagnetic field in our homes making us sick? Is it affecting the quality of our life for humans, animals, and plants? And they came back unanimously with the Bioinitiative Report. And everyone can get a copy of that, bioinitiativereport.org/report. So if you go to www.bioinitiative.org/report, you can get a copy of that. And that report was so profound that the Office of the Surgeon General issued a call to action, because when the EPA said that 6 out of 10 houses are too toxic for us to live in because of this air and radiation problem, the Office of the Surgeon General has issued a national call to action for every university, scientist, for individuals, anybody that can find a solution for us to remediate homes to stop the masses from getting cancer. If you have, and now that the Graduate School of Columbia University has officially released a report that 95% of these cancers are coming from toxic indoor environments and poor diet. And let me put a pin in that. If you have sustained exposure to toxic chemicals and radiation, your body becomes imbalanced and you can't even properly absorb your nutrition. That's why I thank God for the research of Dr. Joe Wallach and David Marshallin from NASA and Dr. Joe Wallach from Longevity International. Dr. Wallach is a world-renowned veterinarian who went back to school to become a naturopathic practitioner after he was very successful in helping his friend that got sick regain his health. And God anointed him and gave him a formulary and the insight to the fact that the human body needed 90 essential vitamins and minerals in order to remain balanced and sustain health. And then when David Marshallin, the electrophysicist from NASA, discovered that the astronauts were losing their vitamins and minerals, they were quickly mineralizing in space, not just because of the gravity issue, and but also there's so much radiation that is used to power up that spacecraft. And if you remember, every time those astronauts came out of space, they were so weak, sometimes they had to carry them off of the spacecraft, and they had to quarantine them until they were able to remineralize them. And so the big question is, have we turned our homes into spaceships, into spacecraft, because we got so much electrical devices and electrical interface in our home now with satellite dishes, et cetera. And I learned from the Russian doctor, if you've got an ant infestation problem in your house, no. That the static electromagnetic flux in your electrical line is high, because ants love static EMF radiation.
So now, listening to what you say, and that sounds really awesome, and then you would have folks that come up and say, well, you know, I did have ants in my house, but I sprayed my house, and now I don't have them anymore. So that means that everything is good.
No, that doesn't. That means that you have a chemical barrier in your house. And the question you need to ask is not only what did it do to the ants, but what is it doing to you? And that's a real concern in Texas right now. I get calls all the time from Texas because the ants are, there's so much static radiation in the Houston area that they've had an influx of ants. And the static is such that these ants are not walking in a line. They're running around in a circle. It's called crazy raspberry ants. Google it and read it for yourself. And so the pesticide, the people that are into exterminating and you know, insect control for your house, they had to go to the Texas Office Department of Public Health and ask for permission to use stronger chemicals because they couldn't control the ants. And finally it got to the point where the people were saying, these chemicals are concentrated enough to not only take the ants out, but to take us out, especially if they had small dogs in the house and babies. And so I tell people, you know, be intelligent. We now have, there's now quantifying meters that you can get to measure the EMF radiation levels in your house. Everybody needs to get one. You can go to Amazon.com and look up EMF meters. You can see which one fits your budget. But everybody, you have to know your levels, especially if you're pregnant and you got small dogs in your house, you got small babies and fragile elderly people. You got to know what the number of radiation is in your home. Now that we know to do better and we can do better, we must do better.
Right.
We must.
So we have the EMF radiation that's working against us in our homes. We have the standard American diet that's working against us. And just generalized pollution, you know, it's just our bodies are being bombarded with all of these, you know, bad forces. It's a wonderful thing that now we have something on every front to combat these demons, or a better word to say, but that are coming at us. The EMFs, you know, the bad diets. And I read an article just today in the Time magazine about the astronaut that they're sitting up in space and has a twin brother. And they're going to study the, well, it may have been an old magazine, but anyway, they studied one brother here on Earth and the other up in space and how space is going to affect him, or the ravages of being up there, like you said, the EMF radiation that he's exposed to while he's there, and brother here. It's just amazing that, you know, they're able to study and track these things now and pinpoint it down to a science. And that's what you've dedicated your life to now, is pinpointing it down to a science.
Yeah.
Am I right?
And we be concerned. Absolutely. And the other thing that we have to consider is we have to look at household chemicals. You know, and I want to take this the opportunity to give a shout-out to actress Fran Drescher of The Nanny. Because if you've been following her career, you know that she developed cancer, uterine cancer, and she attributes to the chemicals that she had sustained exposure to in her house. And now she has a foundation, and the purpose of that foundation is to educate people. You got to detox your house. You got to know the numbers that's in your house, and you've got to get a game plan for how you're going to retrofit your house. Because it's just, as a registered nurse, you know, I took an oath to do no harm. And in my practice and in nursing education, in the core of nursing education, environmental health is a very limited subject. You might get two lectures, you know, maybe a week worth of lectures on environmental health, and most of it centers around airborne irritants that can create asthma attacks primarily. And, of course, you get a little training about chemicals being an acid and how acid can create heart disease and lung disease in a very generalized format. But what has to happen is we need to get a care model that absolutely looks at what kind of chemicals you're being exposed to and how high is the radiation level. And let me give you an example of that. I went back to school and took to Westinghouse. They have classes at Westinghouse in Pittsburgh on environmental radiation and how to measure, analyze, and to mitigate primarily radon, because radon is a huge problem in the Midwest and in the far west in states like Colorado and Iowa. And so what we learned was that when you go in and you're mitigating and you're looking at these levels, there are actually national databases on chemicals, as well as where the radon maps are and the high levels of radon, et cetera. And so I learned that the American Nurses Association and seven other medical organizations actually sued the EPA. They went to the EPA and said, listen, you know where all this chemical conversion is. You know the chemicals that's being manufactured in every spot in America. In fact, there are satellite surveillance of chemicals in America because that's how Homeland Security safeguards us against chemical warfare. And so since this data is available, why don't you make it available so the doctors and nurses can access this to see if patients are having multi-chemical sensitivity? And they won. So those databases are now available to your doctor, my doctor, and doctors nationwide. Why aren't we using them? The second thing that was determined was electromagnetic radiation. When electricity first came into our homes in the early 1900s, it was classified as a class B carcinogen. In other words, they knew from the beginning electricity would cause cancer. That's why the Amish community until today has adamantly refused to have electricity in their living spaces, in their homes. They're still living without electricity because they've always known that it can create imbalances in the body. And so now that we have access, we've got to do this. So I want to give you an example of what happened. After I took my national board, I went into business as a consultant to develop a care model that could be used in home care. And so we had a school teacher that retired at 62 years old. Her husband was an executive for a Fortune 500 company, and he built her a dream home out at the edge of a metropolitan city. She wasn't in that dream home maybe four months before she started having seizures. She never had seizures before in her life. And so all of a sudden she's having seizures. And so I was speaking at their church, and they came up to me and said, Doc, you know, can you come out and survey or do an analysis of our home? And I said, sure. Well, I was able to immediately go to the database that's available now for doctors and nurses, and I was able to pull an analysis of chemicals that were converging in her area. And then when I went with my team, we had quantifying meters that were developed by the Army engineer. And so we took measurements of the electrical radiation in her house. Again, it should be below 40 BMUs of radiation or 40 gram cetra unit. Her levels was over 1,200. So, wow. We had high electrical interference. The second thing, when I looked at the chemical conversion tables in her area, 2 miles from her house was a company that was manufacturing plastic with a chemical called chromium-6. Chromium-6 has been associated with seizure disorders. So, wow, you have a combination where she's being exposed to high static electromagnetic interference or electromagnetic radiation. And if you've ever taken a phone, if you remember back when cell phones first came out, if you set them down near your TV, it would create a static noise. Or if you set it near your radio, it would make a static noise. Well, that's what it does in your body. When you lay your head down in a field that is over 40, you're creating a static noise in your body at the cellular level. You're creating a miscommunication. And so it was a double whammy on this school teacher. She's home all day. She's in a field of high electrical radiation and a field of high chemical conversion. And that translated to a debilitating condition, seizures with a seizure disorder. And that's what we're talking about. That's why the Office of the Surgeon General put forth a call to action. Everybody has got to get this booklet. You can go to Google and put in Google, call to action for promoting healthy homes. It is well documented that environmental toxins are creating all kinds of health disparities. In fact, the Office of the Department of Health and Human Services put out an initiative called Healthy People 2000 to actually look at what diseases was killing the American people And in that document, 9 of the top 10 diseases in America are associated with sustained exposure to high electromagnetic fields.
That is really amazing. You know, who would think that our homes would be killing us, the place where we're supposed to feel safe anymore, or never has been?
Exactly. And what I love about America is that, you know, when you see a problem, get up and do something about it. I tell people, don't come to me whining and doing stuff when you know this is America. If we know we have a problem of this magnitude, and now that we have found out what the culprit is, we got to do something about it. We can clean up our indoor environment. You know, and that is what I have put my path to. Before I even knew that there was a call to action, I was on it. I was like, we don't have any type of care plan. There's no critical pathway for it. What's called environmental adaptation. Yet, we have the diagnostic codes for it, and we even have a treatment protocol that's called an evaluation for home safety. We can easily put these new quantifying instruments to measure the radiation levels in the home and to go to the database and look at chemical conversion to see if that can be included in the model of care. Because for chemical conversion, Dr. Oz has taken a position to start talking about chemicals and radiation in the home. And he's saying you need to open up your window 15 minutes every day, no matter what season it is, no matter what the temperature is. You need to open up your window and vent your house for 15 minutes every day to allow chemicals to diffuse and the radiation to diffuse. And as far as electromagnetic radiation, you can unplug everything in your bedroom that's not essential, and there are certain elements, products you can get to retrofit your bedroom and retrofit your house. And that's what I specialize in. For the last 5 years, I've been living with people in their houses and farms literally across America. People who have contacted me and said, Doc, we got this going on. You know, I can't walk. My house is making me paralyzed. And one lady in Chicago, she said she got zapped in her face one night. When she woke up, she had like Graves' disease with her eyes bulging out of her head. And she invited us to come to Chicago, and sure enough, about 3:30 in the morning, there was a joke that happened in that house that felt like we all got electrocuted, and everybody woke up. I had me and another engineer, and it was phenomenal to see that at that time, the electrical interference in her line was over 2,000 in that house. And so when we got there in the evening, when we went the next morning to survey the home, she had a power transformer that was sitting like 4 feet above her roof. Wow. And so we were able to get an electrical engineer to come in and do some interventions on her line, put in some insulation, put in some filtration systems, and bring her house down. She wasn't even able to stay in that house, but maybe 4 or 5 days out of the week, she left every weekend. This went on for like almost over a year. So there are things you can do to retrofit your house, and that's why we put together this movement, Eco-180 Healthy Smart Homes. We've been studying people's houses, and a farmer contacted me because his wife was sick with EMF radiation toxicity, and when he saw how fast his wife was able to improve, when we went up there to their home and measured it out and mapped it out and put technology in place to improve it, he said, well, what will this do for the barn? I said, I have no idea. I don't know nothing about cows. I said, I know the technology. You show me the infrastructure of your barn, your electrical system, your gas system, your water system, and you bring me an electrical engineer out here, and we'll figure it out. And we worked for 9 hours, and we figured that farm out. He said his cattle were so sick. He had almost 30 cattle that were sick with mastitis, and one of them had been sick for 18 months. And to his amazement, after we insulated that barn and brought those chemical levels down and brought the radiation level from 1,300 down to 33, those cows miraculously healed in 7 days.
So you're saying that get a house out?
Hello?
And save ourselves, run farms,
hello?
So you can have the farms outfitted.
I got a question.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, this is Mason.
Okay.
We got to invite some people now. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, just press 1. So if anybody want to ask a question or make a comment, you have to press 1. Continue, Alda.
Oh, I was just asking Dr. A about you say we can retrofit our homes to protect ourselves, and if we have farms, livestock, chickens, I guess, too, maybe, or any livestock that we could, you know, because the chickens are in these houses with lights on all night long. And I'm thinking if the cows are getting sick, maybe the other farm animals that people are consuming are ill and having problems. And is that
absolutely
possible?
Absolutely. I had a farmer contact me, one of the environmental health physicists that I work with, who said that he had a farmer that had raised chickens, and got his chickens were sick. They were their weight was poor, they were poor size, and they were poor in producing eggs. And he wanted to know if the technology would be helpful for them, and I said absolutely. And he was saying when he went in the barn, they were screaming. It was like they were all paranoid and were having a nervous breakdown. And as soon as they insulated and put the frequency in, the insulation in, that those chickens calmed down like somebody was serenading them with an orchestra. Yes. And so we have I invited a young lady from Puerto Rico to call in on the line. Angela, if you're on the line, if you can push 1 so we can hear your testimony, I'd appreciate it.
Angie, if you are hearing me on your telephone, you have to press the number 1 so that you could be unmuted and you could speak and we could hear you.
That's my colleague.
Press
Mr. Go ahead.
To press number 1?
You're on.
I heard you say to...
To press, Angela,
number 1, if you had any, yes?
Angela, you're live.
Yes, I'm online. I heard you say to press number 1 if you had any questions or
right.
comments.
You're live.
When you asked that, I was just thinking about I'm going to start disconnecting my, you know, electricity, the electric things I have in the bedroom, and just leave the essential, you know, some light or something so that I can see when I get up. But about having my house balanced, I am feeling much better since, you know, I had it balanced from all my ailments, my knees, my foot, ankles. And just yesterday, no, on Monday, I went to the doctor, to the pneumologist, and he told me, "Oh, you're looking good." So I'm doing something else for my health lately.
And if I can give an intro, if I can interrupt to give an intro for Miss Angela. Miss Angela is on the island of Puerto Rico, and her brother was concerned about her health, and so he took our team to Puerto Rico to evaluate her home. We found out that the radiation levels were high. They were over 700, and as she said, that she was having a lot of pain and a lot of stiffness, and it was difficult for her to get up and down the steps. And we were so amazed that within 3 hours, by the time the engineers assessed her house and by the time they made the appropriate interventions to reduce and take the levels, they got finished. Her levels were 27, the electrical interference in her line, and she was feeling some relief within like 3 hours. And within 48 hours later, she was moving like she was getting ready to start training for the Olympics. So her brother is here in Los Angeles with us. He's a fellow in residence. He's a retired business executive from the oil industry, and he's interested.
Even
yes, he's on in the studio. I'll put him on right now. he's interested in how we can move this and take it to the nation, because so many of his friends are sick. He's seen so many people die from cancer. Some places in America, everybody on the street has cancer. Everybody in the community is getting cancer. And we got to stop this. We can do something about it, and we can do something about it today. Here's Mr. Sterling from the island of St. Croix.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, I am so amazed about how this technology can help so many people. And I don't know why more agencies of the government take on this quest to make the home safer. I mean, this is not something that is just come about. It is the literature is in many of the libraries, of the studies from the mechanical and the electrical areas, industry. So I don't know where. I mean, I think that there could be a reason why they don't want to make this public, but somehow there have to be some kind of a study made or information given at large so that people could take better care of themselves and have their home checked.
Yes, and that's a great point, Mr. Sterling. I think the issue is not that they haven't made the information available, because we have the Center for Disease Control now giving free training in environmental health to medical doctors and people in the healthcare profession. You have OSHA that has changed regulations. Many people don't even know that OSHA mandates that if you are working with anything electrical in your job, your employer is supposed to give you protective gear. What is happening is that they don't have all the solutions. What used to work does not work anymore, because we're increasing our exposure to electromagnetic radiation in some cities by as much as 100,000% per year. And that's massive. And so the question has become, how do we enjoy this jet-set world of technology and yet maintain our health? And so the Office of the Surgeon General, they have boldly published these reports telling people, your house is making you sick, and what are you going to do about it? Asking the American public, asking businesses and universities and scientists and consumers, what are you doing about your sick house? Can you share that information with America? And that's why we developed the model Eco-180 Healthy Smart Homes. Because nurses and doctors should be empowered. When they come into your house to assess your home for safety, for home care, they should be empowered to take a meter and measure the electrical radiation that's in your house. They should be empowered with skills to know how to get online and access these databases that are now available for them to see if you have chemical conversion. That has to be included into their training model for doctors and nurses. Because if we know that the source of your heart disease is radiation coming from the wall behind your bed that is chasing you while you're trying to sleep, then we should be doing something about it. And so that's why I'm on this radio tonight. That's what that's what Ida is concerned about and Nathan is concerned about. It's up to us. Everybody needs to become a change agent. Everybody needs to become informed. And I just encourage everybody that's on this radio show tonight, get on Google, get the call to action that the Office of the Surgeon General has put out. The booklet is more than 50 pages. Start studying that booklet and seeing what you can do. Join our movement, the Healthy Smart Home Campaign. Take the class. We have a 4-day class where you can learn how to assess a house, how to quantify a house, how to figure out what technology works in a house. I'm here to tell you, there is not one size fits all. Some houses the technology will work in, and some houses it doesn't. But what we found is there you can make a combination of technology and make that house safer. We can do this for us. We really can.
I want to say something else because the importance of having your home retrofit so that the radiation will not affect you is something that people need to do. The electrical company is not going to do it for you. You have to get yourself involved. If you are listening to this call, you could speak to your pastor and give them the information so that we communicate with you and come to your home and have your home inspected.
For your church.
For your church.
We have a number of pastors who want to give a shout out to the church in the realm in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, because when the pastor there had a stroke in the pulpit, one of his associate pastors, ministers, called me and said, "Dr. Lally, we've heard your story, and we're just wondering, is the pulpit even safe?" And they invited me to come there to check the pulpit, and I was totally blown away that the electromagnetic flux and interference in the pulpit was over 700, and that's when everything turned off. When everything was turned on, it was over 800. And so here, the pastor's trying to preach and being tased by his microphone. This is a real concern, and we can do something about it. I encourage you to take our 4-day class and learn how to use these quantifying meters. I encourage you to go to Vimeo and YouTube. There's so much information out there. And in all fairness, we didn't know the whole diagnostics of electromagnetic hypersensitivity was really not brought to the forefront of the American people until in the last 10 years. People started saying and feeling sick when Wi-Fi came out, actually in the last 20 years, and using cell phones. And people started getting brain tumors and associating it with their cell phone, and breast cancer and associating it with their cell phone. Now, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana has officially made electromagnetic hypersensitivity in a category called idiopathic environmental illnesses. And that basically has umbrellas, multi-chemical sensitivity, people that are allergic to pollen and other things, respiratory irritants in the environment. And now, for the first time that I'm aware of, you know, in medicine, the insurance company has included electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And this is huge because that means that they are seeking care models of treating and managing people with electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And I have to applaud Canada because Canada leads North America. They have opened 7 clinics in Canada that are dealing with a vast amount of people with electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And so it's interesting how they are putting in environmental adaptation as part of the treatment regimen. And that's why I'm saying medicine needs engineers. We need engineers to come in that can quantify these environments and develop methodologies for reducing the magnetic flux and the radiation in these electrical lines, as well as technology that can reduce the chemical conversion or biobalancing in our home. The good news is we can look to NASA because the electrophysicists at NASA, they have a quantifying machine that's now available to medical doctors worldwide. It's called the MyoVision machine that was engineered by Mr. David Marcelin. That machine quantifies how much EMF radiation is absorbed in your body, and it shows effectively how effective the nanobiobalancer that I invented, how effective it works. It shows that the nanobiobalancer works on contact. It shows how the nanobiobalancer de-stresses the body, and it quantifies the number and makes a scan so that you actually have a picture showing the before and after, before you put that nanobiobalancer on and after. And it's been so highly effective for helping us to know and to quantify the development of the nanobiobalancer. We look to NASA because NASA has so much research that really talks about the electromagnetic hypersensitivity and the effects of sustained exposure. Back to you, Ida.
Dr. A, that was awesome presentation, and I see that, you know, everything is already in place, and we need to get the word out to people about the electromagnetic fields that are surrounding us and our cell phones and our homes and various places where we go. We're exposed, and, you know, it's like you said, we've got to get the word out. We've got to start a mission and preach the word to people, and the pulpits are not safe. The handheld devices that the children are carrying, the game stations, are they affecting them too? The little iPods and iPads that children have?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, we need to put a pin in that. The American College of Neurologists released a report that cell phones are causing acoustic neuroma. Acoustic neuroma means hearing loss. And I tell parents all the time, everybody needs, we offer a class at Amici Health called the Balance Class. We teach you two-finger testing and muscle response testing so that you're able to know. You have to know if that electrical device you're giving your child is creating an imbalance. Parents need to know before they give their child a cell phone. Does that cell phone, is it imbalancing them and putting them at risk to lose their hearing? Because it's not fair. We heard our children cry. We heard their first words. But if you do not become proactive about cell phone use in your children, they may lose, they may damage their hearing nerve, their acoustic nerve, and they may never be able to hear their children cry or their grandbaby's first words. And so it's really something, we have to become an educated consumer. It's not life as usual. It's not, you know, we just can't lay back and divorce ourselves from what's happening with our environment, what's happening with the electronics that we're interfacing with. Because the cell phone is the first time in history where we started wearing an electrical device as a fashion statement. You know, most of these men snap that cell phone around their waist, and now we have a sore of prostate cancer, a sore of colon cancer, sore of liver disease, a sore of renal failure. I've never seen so many people on dialysis in my life. And so we got to start. We got to do it better, because the stats on autism ought to be alarming enough to make you knock on every door and get a quantifying machine and start measuring everybody's radiation in your environment. Now that the National Institute of Health has officially said that the probable cause of autism is high levels of EMF radiation. I mean, you think about that. When you and I took vaccinations, why didn't we become autistic? It's because children today are radioactive. Our parents didn't have flat screen TVs in the bedroom with us. They didn't have cell phones under the pillow. You know, they didn't have a high radiation, the satellite dish over the bedroom where our crib was. And so nobody is following NASA. We got to take the research at NASA and bring it into our bedroom. Because I believe my hypothesis on SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, is that children that are dying, they were alive and they had sustained health when you were in the hospital and you were able to bring them home. The question I have is, was it the high electromagnetic flux in the wall that you pushed their crib to that killed them? Because I have measured some of these bedrooms where children are, and I'm telling you, the magnetic flux has been over 1,000, and that's just like a taser gun. It's been high enough to knock out their heart and respiratory system. And so it's a new day in how we're going to be managing babies in our house. You know, and they're absorbing this radiation, and then when they go get a vaccination that has mercury as a preservative in it, mercury is the only element that makes toxic waste go backward on the nerve axon and assault the nerve cell body and can change the polarity of the neuron. And that's why parents are always saying, you know,
my baby got a vaccination, and they was changed instantly. They were normal and healthy before the vaccination, and then afterwards, it was like they were sick. And nobody is quantifying how radioactive that baby is. And that's why you need to really talk to your doctor about vaccination with mercury, because there are other choices that they could use.
Well, Dr. A, that is truly amazing. And I have been blown away with the information. It's been amazing. I don't know how much time we have left. Nathan, are we on a time schedule or?
Dr. A, you want to go for an hour? Or you want to, because we're right at, our time is 10:25, your time.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we have some obligations, I can go another probably 5 more minutes if there's no one else
right.
Studio that, because Mr. Sterling has an orchard in St. Croix. And I wanted this, we've been getting all this news about the plants and the vegetables that I have finally growing, things that would not grow in his yard before he had his home balanced and harmonized. And I want to just let him give an opportunity to give a shout out to his tomatoes and to his mango tree. Go ahead.
Okay.
The one thing that I would like to point out is that with a tremendous drought that we have in Puerto Rico, and well, in the Caribbean, really, in the Caribbean, where I live in St. Croix, about 20 cherry tomato plants are all barren, and it is not after the rain. Our home in Puerto Rico was also balanced. The radiation was very very low, and the gas and the water was also insulated, and that's why the plant, not just the tomatoes, but a lot of the underground plants like the Tania and the dachin, I don't know if you all know what Italian and again, but those are growing very very large. My son called me and told me that he has pulled out one plant that was very big. Before this, those plants were not growing at all. They were very very small, like tiny potatoes. Oh, and a mango tree. I have a mango tree for many years that were not bearing, and now I'm told that the tree has mango, has blossom, and it's doing great.
So it's been tremendous to see how converting these houses to biobalance, healthy, smart homes has enhanced health. I want to give a shout out to the youngest member of our team, 12-year-old Morgan in Ohio. Morgan has been a member of our team for about 2 years now, but she's been in a healthy, smart home for 4 years. When I met Morgan, she couldn't walk, couldn't talk. She wasn't able to learn. She was having about 1,500 minutes of seizures per week. And Morgan and her family became proactive. They started doing everything to reduce her exposure to chemicals, reduce the radiation in the home. Their magnetic flux was over 1,000, and we were able to bring it down to 7. And they saw just amazing health come to Morgan. She went from 1,500 minutes of seizures a week down to less than about 2 minutes. She's now walking, talking, learning, and you can see her testimony on Vimeo.com. Morgan speaks revolutionary nanotechnology. And we're excited because her and her family wrote the protocol that we hope to raise, that we're raising funding for, to be able to do clinical trials on seizures the technology in this whole house. Maybe healthy smart home living for children with seizures. We believe that, and it's documented actually in science, that the electrical interference and static radiation can actually cause them to have seizure activity. So my point is, now that we know better, we can do better. And so I thank everybody for being on this call tonight, for your change agents. I want to thank you, Angela, for pressing to call in from Puerto Rico and becoming tech savvy to get unmuted. Mr. Hill, you are absolutely fabulous. We appreciate your support and giving us your shoulders to stand on. Ms. Morris, I love and appreciate you for carrying this burden with me, carrying this change, carrying the torch. We can do better, team, family. We can do better. We can have healthy homes. We don't have to die from cancer. We can get motivated to educate people. Check your house and know your number, because your house can make it sick. This is Dr. Lally, and I'll see everybody next week. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends. Go online and download a copy of the Call to Action to Promote Healthy Smart Homes. We're going to start going through that book online, because you're going to be blown away at how much the federal government knows and how they're taking the position of responsibility. I want to give a shout out to the Department of Health, of Public Health in the state of California. They are doing an exceptional job out here. They are amazing, and they are bodacious. They have put out signs, and they make every apartment building, a number of public offices, cars. If you have a car in California, if you bought a new car, you have a sticker on your window that tells you chemicals in this car are known to the state of California to cause cancer and injury to the unborn. I took a picture that I'm going to email everybody on my e-blast of the sign that's outside at the gate. When you come into my gated community, there's a signpost that's telling you, because we have carpet in our homes, that there's chemicals known to the state of California in these homes to cause cancer and injury to the unborn. And so I really applaud the leadership in the state of California, because when you're informed, you can be empowered for change. And we're about change out here. And I thank everybody for being on this line, for contributing to this information. And let's go forward this week and make a change. I'm Dr. Lally. I'm Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Thank you. Thank you for the information and making us aware of how we can take care of our health.
Okay. Thank you, Angela.
Okay. Good
thank
night.
Thank you, Dr. Lally.
All right, thank you. Look forward to next week.
All right. See you then.
Okay. See you.
Thanks, everyone.
I feel like
peace.